to read tonight from the last book in our Bible, the book of the Revelation. Well, I'm fixing this up. If you have a Bible, then you can maybe find that place, the book of the Revelation. Three short readings. Chapter 3, please, Revelation. Chapter 3, verse 8, Revelation chapter 3. I know thy works, says the Lord Jesus. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. I have set before thee an open door. Let's go to verse 20. Same chapter, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. I stand, behold, I stand, says the Lord Jesus, at the door and knock. In chapter 4, verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet, talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Behold, a door was opened in heaven. And I'll conclude our reading for this evening. I want to speak to you tonight from these verses that we have read together. We have read about three doors in the compass of 16 verses. This one evening, sitting reading, after having read the Bible many times, never noticed that within these just 16 verses, three doors brought before us. Many lessons can be learned. I trust one of them. Maybe for someone in this meeting tonight. As we go over these things, these amazing things, maybe the Spirit of God tonight would speak to someone in this meeting, be they a child, or be they a mature person, that God would bless in this meeting this evening. We're reading from the last book of the Bible, and we're taking our preaching this evening from the illustration of the door. I'm glad that as I reflect back on other parts of the Bible, in fact, right to the very first book in the Bible, that God is introducing us. God is speaking to us using the illustration of the door. How wonderful, how simple, how beautiful. I'm glad that God, in His greatness, in His wisdom, is able to bring to us His message, the message of the gospel, the message from the very throne of heaven to us who are so feeble and so poor, can bring to us that message in such simple terms. And even away back in the book of Genesis, pending the great flood, the door was open. The door of opportunity was open. And people went through the door. And the door was closed. And they were safe. They were secure before the judgment came. And we could go on. But I do want to mention the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, the great, the supreme teacher, the supreme preacher, used this very illustration himself. And I want to bring to you that word that he spoke. He said, I am the door. I am the door. By me. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. Now these are words. These are words that these children can take in and not fail to understand. There is no one can leave the meeting tonight. Let us say this. There is no one can leave the meeting tonight and say that they don't understand the message, really. Because God has made it so, so simple. If we want to be saved, if we want to be in heaven, it's like walking through the door. We see the Lord Jesus Christ. We see Him and we read about Him. He presents Himself to us as the Savior of sinners. And He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And the question this evening that we have to ask ourselves, just at the beginning of this meeting, is, do I know Christ, Jesus Christ, as my Savior and Lord? Have I ever placed my faith, personally, in Him, and rested in Him for eternal salvation? In other words, have I simply walked through the door? Have I taken the step of trusting Jesus Christ as my Savior? Now, I must come to these verses, having said that by way of introduction. To speak to you about these three doors. Says the Lord Jesus, I have set before thee an open door. I want to call that tonight, maybe for the help and benefit of somebody in this meeting, the door of hope. The door of hope. I have set before thee an open door. There is a door of opportunity for us this evening, in this meeting. Then I want you to think of chapter 3 in verse 20. The door of the heart. Behold, says the Lord Jesus, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. We're going to see how amazing that is. The Son of God, the Savior of the world, is standing and He's knocking at the door, your life's door, your heart's door. And He wants to come. And He wants to be your, not only your Savior, but your Lord and Master. And I want to speak to Revelation chapter 4 verse 1 about the door of heaven. After these things, a door was opened in heaven. So they were thinking tonight about the door of hope, the door of the heart, and the door of heaven. Let me come to you first of all to this verse. Says the Lord Jesus, these two chapters, chapter 3, chapter 4 of this book, are letters. They're of fascinating interest, because they are letters from the risen Christ, the risen Lord Jesus Himself, to various groups of people. There are seven letters here, and read them through. They are so interesting, and we cannot gainsay the message, because it comes right from the very throne, right from the very presence of God, right from the Lord Jesus Himself. I've often wondered. I've often pondered and thought about these folks that received the letters as they sat around, and whoever read the letter out. And this is a letter from the Lord. Sometimes we become detached from these things and we don't get the full impact of them and of the message, a message that comes to us from God. Sometimes I think when I'm preaching, wondering how, by the Holy Spirit, more impact could be made. And sometimes that little verse of a hymn comes to me. If you could see Christ standing here tonight, His thorn-crowned brow, His pierced hands could view, could see those eyes that beam with heaven's own light and hear Him say, "Beloved, 'twas for you." Would you believe? Would you believe? And Jesus receive a letter from the Lord. He says to them, consistently in these letters, I know. He is the all-seeing, the omniscient, as we say, the all-seeing God of heaven. That sobers up every one of us. That means that what we have hidden in the dark and in the secret places, what is in the darkness and the recesses of our heart and in our minds that no one else knows, has seen or heard, is known to the God of heaven. We, little chorus, don't know whether you sing it now or not, we used to sing it, "He sees all I do, He hears all I say." And there's a record being made of it according to this last book in the Bible. My God is writing all the time. He knows. He knows us through and through. And there's no point of us looking this way or looking that way or thinking about someone else. He is looking at me. And He's speaking about me. And He knows about me. And it's recorded what He thinks about us. Whatever we think about ourselves, He's saying that we've come short, that we're not good enough. Indeed, we've come far, far, far short of His glory, every one of us. I know Thy works. And He knew that these people, their backs were against the wall. It says here, "Thou hast a little strength." He knew it was difficult. Where they were, the very seat of Satan, very satanic attacks against them. And He knew about it. And He's writing to them. And He tells them, "I know exactly what the position is." And then He says, "I set before you an open door." Maybe your back's against the wall. Maybe it is so difficult. Maybe there is satanic attack and pressure. But look, I am the God of heaven. And I set before you an open door, a door of opportunity. There is a way out. Now, if we think about a little strength, the Bible just says about us, in the book of Romans, that when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. When we were unable, let us be clear about this, when we were totally unable to even lift a little finger for ourselves, as far as salvation is concerned, when we were helpless, sometimes sing about it, how helpless and hopeless we sinners had been if He never had loved us to cleanse from our sin. The Bible says our backs are not only to the wall, our faces are toward destruction. And that's where sin will take us, away from God. And ultimately, in these meetings we need to be absolutely clear and plain that our sin will take us away from God and take us into hell and into the lake of fire for eternity, separated from God, because sin separates us from God. It did so right in the very beginning, right in the very first pages of our Bible. And we would have said, no, just a sin of disobedience. This one sin. No. Just forget about it. Dear friends, we are reckoning tonight with the thrice holy God of heaven. We are thinking of one who, in his very presence, angels who have never sinned themselves, must veil their faces and cover themselves and hide from the glory and the holiness of Almighty God. And he is looking at us, and he is saying, we have come short. But he's saying too, look, in the message of the gospel, I set before you an open door, a door of opportunity. I wonder tonight in this meeting, if someone, your back really, you feel your back's to the wall, you feel really up against it, you really feel that there is no way out, you can't turn this way, you can't turn that way, and many people are like that, feel like that. I met a young man not so long ago, a year and a half ago, in the street. Told me, life is finished. Life is over. I asked him for an opportunity to speak to him. Not that long ago, we sat around a little table in a dark little hovel of a house with little candles on the table. Him and his partner, we sat. And he reminded me of that day when we met. He said, you know where I was going? I said, no. He said, I was going to the River Clyde to finish it off. I was able to sit at that table and to tell him about the door of opportunity, the door of hope for every person. Tonight, he's in prison in West Lothian. And I'm just praying that as he's there, that in the stillness and quietness of that place, that God will show to him that although he's in behind bars, that there is an open door. There is an open door. The God of heaven presents an opportunity for salvation, for eternal life, for heaven. And I don't know, maybe somebody comes to the meeting this evening and you think there is no way out. And you hear this word tonight from the Bible, from the Lord Jesus Christ. There is an open door. And you can go through. You can walk right through. You can take hold of the opportunity. You can grasp it tonight and trust the Saviour. And life will be different. Change for you. The door of the heart. Revelation 3:20. Wonderful verse. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, says the Lord Jesus. If any man open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. I can scarcely get across to you tonight how tremendous this is. Let me think with you, first of all, of who it is that's standing at the door. The door of your life. Standing before you. Oh, it makes all the difference, you know. Makes all the difference who's at the door. Many people have a little spy hole. Look through. Depends who's at the door. Or maybe if you think it's a salesman, somebody going to bring you under some pressure or whatever, just not bother. Just leave it. You look through again. A man in uniform. It's a police officer. Better open the door. It makes all the difference who's standing at the door. here. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Behold, he says, I stand at the door and knock. The person he is, the greatest person in the universe. The greatest person in the universe who spoke in Genesis 1 and created this universe. In a word of his power, he says, I'm standing. I stand at the door of your life. He's standing. He's standing, waiting on me. I'll tell you this. There's another passage of the Bible where people have missed the opportunity. And they're standing, and they're standing, and they're knocking on the door, and they're crying to God. They're crying to God to let them in. I can understand that. I can understand you and me outside and waiting and pleading and crying to God for salvation. But to think that he is standing, waiting for me, is something that I cannot explain. The person he is, the patience he shows, the patience he shows. Behold, I stand at the door and I'm knocking. That is a thought. It's not that he's just knocked on the door and then in a moment walks away. No, no. Behold, he said, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking and I'm knocking and I'm knocking. Somebody, what do you mean by knocking? I mean, he's speaking. He's speaking to you. He's speaking to you. He's telling you. He's asking you if he can come into your life. And he's been, some here, some of the children, yeah, for two or few years, you've been hearing the teaching from the Bible in the Sunday school or whatever. And sometimes in these times, there'll just be that little thought, oh, about Jesus dying for me. And what have I done for him? Have I responded? Have I believed? No, he's knocking. Some of you more mature people, in your life you look back and you say, oh, I remember that meeting. I remember then. And I remember that incident where I really thought about things. And it really got to me. And he was knocking. And oh, his patience. I ask you this. You go home tonight. And you sit down at the fire. Somebody comes to the door. They knock on the door. You don't respond. I ask you this. How many times will they knock before they leave? Oh, you say maybe twice, maybe three times. And then they'll leave. What about this man? What about the Son of God? What about your life? What about him waiting on you? Over these years, when you were a child, when you were a teenager, and you heard God speaking to you, you heard the knock, as it were, of Christ's nail-pierced hand, and you're still tonight, he's still at the door. Patience that he shows. And the plea that he makes. In this verse, he's not only knocking. He's calling. He's calling. Can you imagine it? I tell you, I think there's only, I'm going back over all the times of visitation in various parts of the town and so on, over the years and so on, trying to meet and speak to people. And I can only remember once. I remember once knocking on the door. And there was a rape problem. I knew problems abounded in the house, and I knew that only certain people would be allowed in, and I remember kneeling down and through the letterbox calling through the door. He's not only knocking. He's not only knocking. He's calling. He's calling to you tonight. He's so interested. His love is so great. What a wonderful hymn that we were singing. The love of God. is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. For one to be standing, waiting on me, a poor sinner, a poor, weak, feeble sinner, and he's calling, and he's knocking, and he's pleading with me. I wonder if there's somebody tonight that's going to touch your heart, that's going to reach you, and you'll say, yes, I'll open the door, I believe, I'll trust in him, I'll make him my Saviour and my Lord. And the promise that he gives, I will come in. The promise that he gives, I will come in. I don't need to tell you. I don't need to tell you that the manifesto promises and all the other promises that people make, you cannot depend on them for 2 minutes. We cannot rely. Sometimes they're given with the best of intention. But here's a man. Here's a man you can trust 100%. You can supremely trust. You can rely upon him, not only for tonight, for salvation, but for eternity, for eternity. If any man hear my voice, any woman, any person, they open the door, I will come in. Unequivocal, straightforward promise. No grey area, no fudging. Plain and simple, clear and plain. If you open the door, if you trust him tonight, he comes in, he's your Saviour, and he's your Lord, and he saves you from your sin, and he makes you right and fit for heaven. There's a woman in the New Testament. And maybe it just puts it in another way, but it says this. After she heard the word of God, whose heart the Lord opened? Whose heart the Lord opened? And that's what we desire tonight in this meeting. That hearts would be open to receive the word of God, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord. Only a few moments. The door of heaven. If I had time tonight that I've spoken to you about the existence of heaven, we need to refute, we need to stand up for every truth in the Bible in these days in which we live. And in these verses, we could have spoken about the existence of heaven, how real it is. Not a fantasy, not a fairy tale. But when we take the great final step, the last step, over the boundary line of time, into eternity, then you want to know something about heaven. You want to know something about eternity. You want to know something about where you're going. And I've seen the hardest. I've seen the toughest. And I've seen the fear. And I've seen the trembling. Making the step over into eternity. The existence of heaven. Ah, the entrance to heaven. The entrance to heaven. There was a door. John says, I saw a door open in heaven. Marvelous. Wonderful. Why didn't God just turn away from us altogether and wipe us out because of our evil and sin? Close the door, just himself to himself, as it were, in heaven above. Hear you this. Out of that door, at least two wonderful things can happen. It did happen, have happened. The Son of God came from heaven to earth. From the sapphire throne, from the glory of heaven, to a manger at Bethlehem, to a cross at Calvary, to suffer and to die in such a shameful and terrible way. The door is open in heaven and God comes out He comes to us in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring all the love that He can show, to give to us, provide for us salvation. We might be eternally saved. The door is open. John says, I went through the door. What? A fisherman from Galilee. Just an ordinary, common person, John, when he first met the Lord. Oh yes. Oh yes. He went in through the door because he was a follower, a believer, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. One day he heard a call. It was a call of the Savior. He says to John, follow me. Follow me. What was his response? He could only do one of two things. He could only say, no, sorry, I'm busy with the fishing. I need to get one with it. My life, you know. Or he could leave. The Bible says he left all and followed him. That's it. That's the starting point. That is the road. That's the starting point in the road to heaven. And John is an old man now. And Christ comes to him on the Isle of Patmos. And he's called up. There's a door open in heaven. And John says, I went in. And I saw it. Wonderful. The entrance to heaven. The environment of heaven. That would take a long time to talk about all the things that this book says about heaven. Lovely, beautiful things. I just want to say tonight, will you be there? Will you be there? Where are you? Where are you heading for when life little journey is over? You know, time tonight for pleasant platitudes from here over. It's start reality this evening for every person, the children here as well, to get to grips with these matters that are eternal. And we'll leave this meeting tonight. We'll leave this meeting tonight and go out that door, go out into the street, maybe, never to hear the call, the voice again. Not to know. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. And the possibility of missing heaven for eternity. That is the urgency. That is the urgency of the meeting tonight. So, we think of these things. We think of the door of hope. Door of opportunity. We think of the door of the heart, that so much the Lord Jesus Christ would love to open to Him, yielded to Him. And the door of heaven, the possibility of us being there one day after this life is over. We trust that some in the meeting tonight will just grasp the opportunity in this meeting and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour and Lord. Now we're just going to pray. And if there's anyone with any questions about these things, then feel free to ask about them. It's not a question of pressure or anything like that whatsoever. It's a question of just making these matters clear and plain, and any questions, any doubt that you may have in your mind, it could maybe help to resolve these. Now shall we bow together in prayer? Gracious God and our Father, we just commend ourselves to Thee. We thank Thee for the time that we have spent. Thy word has been read. Marvellous truths have been considered with us, albeit feebly. And we just pray that Thy Spirit would use it to the blessing of some tonight in this meeting. We commend ourselves then to Thee and pray that it will take us away from this place in safety. We trust everyone in the meeting, knowing Christ as their personal Saviour. Give thanks for Thy goodness to us throughout the day. We give thanks now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you very much.